This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:17, Wednesday, 16th of February, and you're listening to The Morning Run. But in the meantime, let's get up to date on the developments related to the Johor state elections. Because the opposition parties have been gradually revealing their candidates in the run-up to nomination day on February 26.
And on Monday, PKR introduced 13 candidates that will contest under its banner in Johor out of the 20 expected seats. The remaining 7 seats are subject of ongoing negotiations between PKR and MUDA. And MUDA is not official is not an official coalition party of Pakatan Harapan, but it has forged electoral pacts with Harapan parties to contest in Johor.
So far, MUDA has obtained 4 seats from Amanah and 2 seats from DAP. PKR has also agreed to cede 3 seats to MUDA, but there isn't a deal yet on which seats will they be. Meanwhile, Pejuang says it will announce its candidate lineup 2 days before nomination day, while Warisan has also just announced yesterday that it will run in Johor, crowded space.
A very crowded space. So to help us give some colour in terms of what's happening, we speak to Dr. Oh Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Isan. Help us understand what's happening on the ground, but let's firstly talk about what's the main points of contention between PKR and MUDA in negotiating their seat allocations.
Well, I guess the tussle, it's mainly over the so-called winnable seats, right? So all these parties, of course, they would like to be allocated seats that they could relatively easily win. So, for example, for MUDA, its main electoral appeal, it's perhaps, as Stan suggests, to the younger generation and primarily to the urban or suburban younger voters. So, of course, it would then like to get those urban and suburban seats. From PKR's point of view, PKR nowadays is not quite welcome, for example, in the Malay majority seats. So they would similarly like to contest in a lot of these urban and suburban seats. And I think that's where these two parties could not see eye to eye. So that's why you have the negotiation still ongoing.
But, if you look at the pictures, they seem to be rara and being very collegial. Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim and Syed Saddiq, is this really all the front? Because, underneath it, there must be a lot of tense negotiations and discussions taking place, isn't it? And in your view, is this a healthy part of coalition building?
Well, of course, there's no love either gained or lost between PKR and MUDA, because it's not as if MUDA is a splinter of PKR. It is not. They might or might not contest in similar seats. If they don't, then of course everything is very collegial. If they do contest against each other, of course, then they would then get at each other. But as you say, this is what Malaysian politics is evolving towards, namely the different parties respectively. They would try to win a number of seats. If they could coordinate with each other, it would be all the better. But if they can't, they would go at each other. And then after the election, perhaps you have all this coalition building to form a government. Yeah.
Pejuang also said that they will contest in the Johor election on their own. But how would you rate their chances, given that it's planning to run in all 42 seats? And is the Tun M factor still a draw for voters?
Well, to a certain extent, but perhaps not as much as Pejuang would like. You see, Pejuang, it's like UMNO and maybe even this Bersatu, they are racialist party, namely race is an important factor in their electoral appeal. So very likely Pejuang is going to go for this Malay majority seats. However, it would come up against UMNO and also Bersatu. So the chances of winning some of those seats, I think, are quite slim, especially now that Dr. Mahathir no longer has the support of Pakatan Harapan, so he could not count on this, non-Malay voters to vote for him. So I think it will be uphill struggle for Perjuang in Johor.
Isan, another party that has thrown their hat into the ring is Warisan. So they've officially confirmed that they will contest in Johor in the first test of their Peninsula Malaysia expansion. What do you think their strategy will be, and can they actually make any headway at all?
Well, I think, again, it's a similar appeal to these voters who are somewhat disenchanted or disillusioned or disappointed with Pakatan Harapan, but still could not quite bring themselves to vote for either UMNO or Bersatu. In the Sarawak and in the Melaka state elections, these voters largely stay home and did not come out to vote. So I think Warisan is banking on these voters coming out to vote and hopefully vote for them. I think if they have the blessing of PH for doing so, of course, I think they will win a number of seats. But if they are coming out against PH, well, then I think it remains to be seen if they can win any seat at all. I think Muda, did it in a slightly, as you say, more collegial way of coordinating the seats with Pakatan, but it doesn't appear that Warisan is doing the same thing.
It's very interesting, you know, I contrast this with Melaka. Melaka was quite a stable state affair. This seems to be very congested and crowded, you know, and everyone's trying different tactics and strategies. Do you think this is to inform them, to guide them to how they should approach GE going forward?
I certainly think so. Number one, we have this state election because of UMNO internal power struggle, the mainstream faction trying to ease out the Prime Minister and others who they don't like. And then the other various parties would then make use of this opportunity. As Johor, it's a very interesting state. It is large. It has a large number of seats. And its electoral makeup, namely voters, came from different communities. So I think various parties, either from the ruling side or from the opposition side, they are either trying out their own luck or they are trying out various permutation in terms of partnering with other parties, so on. And yes, you're going to see the replication of this in the general election.
So Isan, the winner of this very crowded field of opposition parties, is it UMNO?
Of course, but even without the opposition field being very crowded, UMNO is likely to win quite significantly. I think there's scarcely any doubt that UMNO will win this election handsomely. It's just the margin of winning that is the only question here.
And, you know, when we look at the campaign issues, right, I'm just curious, what do you think are the main issues that both parties, whether it's the opposition or the government or UMNO, for example, what do you think they are going to campaign on? Is it national issues or is it domestic ones?
I think it's mainly economy. And economy could go either national or domestic because, the prolonged lockdown over the last 2 years, the pandemic and so on, and especially this sort of reduction or even removal of movement freedom between Johor and Singapore. I think that has a huge hit on the Johor economy. And, whoever would like to win this election will really need to campaign on how they could revive the Johor economy.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point because you're basically saying the economy is actually a national topic here because it's about linking with Singapore. And Singapore linkage actually links to a lot of the urban locations and seats, isn't it, south of Johor? So, you know, who benefits and wins when, you know, borders reopen?
Well, Of course, number one, the voters would win. I think it boils down to which coalition would come up with at least some proposal as to how they would go about it, easing the movements and then in the process reviving the economy and so on. It would appear that the current UMNO, Menteri Besar enjoys quite sizable support across racial lines. And it's likely that a lot of people is willing to give him a full term. Yeah.
We have been waiting for the announcement of the candidates for a while now, and they have announced some of the candidates already. Who are the noteworthy names that you'll be keeping an eye on?
Well, from the opposition side, of course, you have the incumbent DAP, former exco such as Liao Chai Tong and Tan Hong Chien and so on. And then you have this Muda Sekjen, this lady called, I think, Amira Aisha. I think I heard her speak before. She's very passionate about issues and so on. So this would give her, hopefully, you know, a stage for her to sort of espouse various ideas for Muda. And then, well, PKR side, you have supposedly their future MB candidate, namely the former education minister, Mas Lee, who is also coming out to run here.
Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Oh Yee San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, giving us his view on the opposition parties that are going to contest in Johor. And oh boy, is it a very crowded and, if you ask me, confusing feel.
Well, what's at stake is 55 seats, because just before the dissolution, there were 28 seats for the government, BN/PN, and 27 for Pakatan Harapan. It was just a majority of one. So I think this could be a very interesting result. I don't know whether it'll be a close one. That's the
it
thing.
It might be, because there are a few new things, one of which is, of course, we're going, it's the first elections where Malaysians who are 18 years can actually vote. Mm. Added to that, of course, is the automatic voter registration. Why am I struggling with that word? And one more thing, and this is a little bit of a PSA. For those who are outside of Malaysia, the EC has announced that they will be eligible to apply to become postal voters if you're Johorian. But in order to do so, you must register with the EC through their website by February 18. So you have a few more days. So please do so, because every vote counts.
And I think all those parents, please inform your children who are overseas as well to do this, do so.
I think what will be interesting is we'll see how many of the Johorians who are residing in Singapore are going to do that, because apparently there's 200,000 of them.
Yeah, I wonder how the VTL lines will be blocked full with that.
Well, they don't actually technically need to do the VTL. They can vote via postal votes if they sign up by Friday.
And I think there is an NGO, right, who's doing all to facilitate the delivery of postal votes.
Yeah.
Ballots, I mean.
Yeah, it's called Undi Johor. So, interesting. We'll of course, follow this news very closely.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.